Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. And be not drunk with wine. That's my subject. No, it's not. Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. I am thankful to be in partnership with God. It's an amazing thing to be an heir of the Father and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God does not partner with ungrateful, unfaithful, non-giving, non-tithing, non-sharing people. If you're going to be a partner with God, there are certain requirements. And thank God I am a partner, a junior partner, in the oldest, wealthiest firm in the world. I'm always fascinated when I go to a lawyer's office and they got all these names on the door, just how they got there. But when I look at the greatest, oldest, wealthiest firm in the world, the names on the door, it's great. Jehovah, Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost, Steve Fender. That's pretty amazing. How did I get my name up there? Do you see your name on the firm? Do you realize that you are a partner? I'm thankful to be invited into the firm. I didn't bring a lot of capital to this partnership, but I was invited. A junior partner walks into the pre-existing assets that are always there, probably buildings that were built before he ever went to law school, and he's invited to join that. That's what happened to me. My God invited me to be a partner. That means I'm a partner. I'm a joint heir, a partner in the sun, the moon, the earth, the stars, all before I existed. That's a pretty amazing thing that God loves us that much that he includes us. Sometimes people don't take advantage of that. They think the investment is too great. They die spiritually destitute, many times financially destitute, because they do not understand the privilege of being invited to the oldest, wealthiest firm in the world. When I was a young man, not that young, but younger than I am now, probably in my late 30s, my dad called me one day and he said, "Son," he said, "I'm going to make you a deal." He said, "I've got this farm in Illinois." And he said, "I want to sell it to you." And I said, "How much do you want for it?" He said, "Oh, that's not the point." And the truth was, he wanted a lot more for it than the land was selling for in the state of Illinois, that part. He said, "That's not the point." He said, "I'm simply making it available to you." And sometimes we think the price into the kingdom of God is too high. That's not the point. The point is, it's available to you. Little old nobodies can become somebodies. Little old people that don't have anything can suddenly become a junior partner in the oldest, wealthiest firm in the world. And so Daddy said, "I'm going to sell it to you, son." I said, "Dad, my problem is I don't have any money to pay down." He said, "That's the reason why I tell you it doesn't matter how much it is, because you don't have nothing. I'm going to let you buy this farm at whatever the price was, which was too high." But he said, "All you got to do is start making a monthly payment, nothing down." And I thought, it's too high. But something told me to buy that. And so I started making those monthly payments. That's exactly what God said. When God invited you into the kingdom of God, he didn't say you've got to come with 10,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 or a million. He said, "Just come in. Just start giving God on what you have, no matter how small it is, and God will make you a junior partner." That's pretty amazing. And so I bought what I thought was a farm too high. It wasn't but a year or two having that, making those monthly payments. Hey, and if I was late, I mean a day, my dad would call me and say, "Son, where's the payment?" "Well, Dad, I'm traveling." You need to get that in the mail. It wasn't that he needed that. God doesn't need your money. It was that we were in a covenant. We were in agreement. It wasn't too long, a year or two into that the banker from Effingham, Illinois, called me and said, Steve, do you want to buy the farm next to the one? I said, I don't have any money. It seemed like God had a plan. He said, you don't need any plan. He said, and he called the guy's name. I'd known him all my life. He said, he's about a year behind on his payments. He won't pay me. He said, I'm mad. And he said, this is a nice farm. He said, he owes, and I forgot what it was. It was a ridiculous amount, like $25,000 on this farm. And he said, that's all I want. I said, I don't have $25,000. He said, you don't need $25,000. I'm sending you the papers in the mail. Sign them. It's yours. I repossessed it. I'm not trying to make any money. I'm trying to get the banks. And so now I got two farms. It changed my life. I sold those farms and bought my first ranch in Texas because they invited me to become a partner in something, even though I had nothing to invest. Friend, I'm going to tell you don't have anything that God needs when you're a sinner. But God loves you so much, he just includes you into the firm. And I thank God that he did. And I thank God every day that I'm in God's kingdom, that God is on my side, that God includes me, that I'm not excluded. One of the greatest threats in the Bible, it said that the Gentiles that walk not after God are alienated from the life of God. It's terrible to be an alien. That means you don't have a citizenship. You're not a partner. You don't have any right at all. But praise God, I'm no longer an alien of the commonwealth of Israel. God invited me. I'm going to talk to you tonight about gratitude, about thankfulness on Thanksgiving Eve, because it's so important. I thank God for those opportunities. I thought it was too high, but praise God, it changed my financial outlook. Because when I sold that farm, that first farm, I sold both of them pretty quickly. But when I sold that farm, things had appreciated. And I sold that farm for more than any farm had ever sold in Clay County, Illinois. It changed my life. Let me tell you, not only is the kingdom of God great, it's appreciating every day. And you might think it's too expensive to get in, but old friend, I promise you, it'll make you rich in ways you haven't even dreamed of. And I'm not just talking about a good life. I'm talking about eternal wealth that God will give you. It's not easy to be a thankful person. It's really not. A grateful person, that doesn't come with ease. Thankfulness is not the normal first response of our flesh. The Bible teaches our flesh is the enemy of the Spirit, the enemy of God. And so because of that, flesh's first response is not to be thankful and grateful. It has to be disciplined. Flesh feeling entitled does not easily respond with gratitude and praise, especially in less than desirable circumstances. It takes practice to be thankful. It takes practice to be thankful. If you look around and something's not going your way, it's real easy to begin to complain and murmur and say, why me? But the Bible teaches us, and Paul tells us, that the goal of every serious Christian is to be thankful in all things. Thankful in all things. Not just when things are going our way. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he writes to the church at Thessalonica, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Not just when you get a raise, not just when you get a windfall, but in everything give the Lord thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is not an automatic response. This is something that you must meditate on and think about. It is a choice. As Becky said, everything's a choice. And you either choose to be ungrateful, you either choose to take things for granted, you either choose to feel entitled, or you get up every day saying, thank God for life. Thank God for this day. It's truly a gift. And you become a thankful, grateful person. Nurturing a thankful heart, that's what we're supposed to do. As in the case with most virtues, you do not magically become thankful. These are disciplines and habits you can cultivate that can reap a great harvest of gratefulness in your life. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Paul is teaching us how to be thankful in the words of my text in the 5th chapter of Ephesians. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, not drunk on wine. Ever since that man learned to ferment fruit, to create alcohol, mankind has been enamored with its ability to shield us from life's painful realities, to dull that pain. But Paul doesn't just tell us to avoid drunkenness. He instructs us to be filled with the Spirit of God. You can substitute many things for wine in this verse. It doesn't have to be wine that you're drunk on. Don't ignore the difficulties in life by burying yourself in wine or drugs or sex or mindless internet surfing. You may think you're avoiding pain, but you're just postponing it. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, and you will be equipped to deal with life's difficulties instead of avoiding them. Avoiding a trial has no benefit at all, but going through that trial and looking back and say, wow, I aced that one, didn't I? That has tremendous reward in your life. The great reward does not come to those that never face adversity. The great rewards come to those that endure hardness as a good soldier. Go through adversities and trials, but through it all, they hold up their head and say, I know that I'm going to be victorious because I know the Lord is on my side. I know this didn't start well, but it's going to turn out great. Because what the devil means for evil, the Lord has a way of just turning around, and what he thinks is going to be defeat is going to be one of the greatest victories in my life. The foundation of thankfulness is to be filled with the Spirit of God, because it is not a natural tendency for flesh to be grateful. If we can get filled with God's Spirit, it reverses the trend. Suddenly you find it's easy to praise God. While other people are complaining, you're thanking God that you're alive and have this opportunity. He translates thankfulness into the action of praise. The Bible teaches us out of the abundance of the heart, things flow. Words come forth. Actions are manifest by what's in your heart. And so if you really have gratitude in your heart and thankfulness in your spirit, you will become a praiser. First of all, we're talking mostly about being thankful to God. But do you praise your spouse? Do you ever praise your children? Do you ever praise your parents? Do you ever praise your coworkers when they do a good job? Or you just take it for granted and reach for more? Become a praiser. Become a thankful person. And so the text that I've shared with you at the onset of this message categorizes praise into three dimensions. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Everybody say that with me. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Those are three different categories of praise. When we talk about psalms, what are we talking about? We're talking about God's Word. Before you do anything, before you experience anything, before you ever look in the mirror and say, man, what a beautiful face I've got. Before you thank God for the car that you drive or the job you have or the friends you have or whatever it is good in your life, the real foundation of praise starts with Psalms. It starts with the Scripture. That's the reason why it's so necessary that you learn the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but to be approved, because it is the foundation. You can praise God in a real way in various circumstances, but the real foundation of praise is the revelation of who God is. And the revelation of who God is comes from the Word of God. It's about God that you learn from the Bible. Some people misread it. They read the parts that are sad and the parts that are painful, and they assume that is God. But friend, I have read all the books, and I know the end of the story. I know the God that I serve. I found out that my God is not a God of religion, but a God of spirituality. And while some people fear God, I faith God. While some people hate God, I love God, because I've studied the Word of God, and from the conclusion of my study of God's Scripture, I've found out He is an awesome, magnificent God. He loves me so much that He gave up not one of many sons, but His only begotten Son, died in my place. Because God loved me while I was yet a sinner, He commendeth His love to me. Oh, friend, all I have to do, I don't have to have a new car or a spiritual financial windfall to praise God. I can just look in the Word of God and find out that He is worthy of praise. And I am thankful and I am grateful that I have got a good God, a great God, a wonderful God, an omniscient God, an omnipresent God, a wealthy God, a God that loves me, a God that will extend Himself toward me, a God that will see that I am delivered from every trial, a God that will cut off my suffering, a God that will make a way where there is no way. And I say, wait just a minute. It don't matter if I've got a flat tire. I'll stand by the side of the road and on the Psalms. In the Word of God, I'm going to just praise God for who He is, that He's a God that's not grouchy. He's a God that's not old. He's a God that's not run down at the heels, but He's a mighty, mighty God, and He is my God, and I am His child. It just makes me want to praise God. What are you praising God for? You hadn't got no money today. I don't have to have money to praise God. I praise God because I'm a junior partner, and I've been included into the family of God. It just makes me smile. It makes me shout, praise God. It makes me jump around. It makes me stomp about. It makes me clap my hands. Oh, what a God He is. Oh, it's a little-known scripture, but it's a great one. In the book of Habakkuk, it says this. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of olives fail, and the field yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. He says it this way, even though I don't have a car in the garage, and I don't have a garage to put the car in if I had a car. I don't own my own house. I don't have a job. I don't have any friends. Things are not going well. He said, even though all of that is true, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Does everything have to fit together like a puzzle in your life for you to be thankful and grateful? Or can you look through the gloom and see the glory? Can you look through the ashes and sift through the ashes and find the beauty? Can you get up and your first phone call is negative? And the first thing your spouse says is critical. And you say, but that's not going to bring me down, because my joy is not in my spouse, and my joy is not in my job, and my joy is not in my cell phone, but my joy is in the Lord of my salvation. I praise the Lord because I speak to myself in Psalms. I speak to myself in the Scripture. And when I talk about the Scripture, I find myself, I read myself right in the Bible. I find I'm there in chapter after chapter and verse after verse. And when I find it every way I read the Bible, He turns me from a heel to a hero. He turns me from lost to saved. He turns me from dying to living. He turns me from temporal to eternal. Why can't I just be thankful for what I know about God? That God is on my side, praise God, and I can see the end from the beginning, and no matter how good or bad it is now, it's getting better by the day, and praise God, it's going to get so good one of these days. It's already so good that my English is not good enough. He gave me a new language so I could praise Him in the third dimension, but one of these days, it's going to get so good that this body is not going to be able to contain it, praise God. He said, it doth not yet what you shall be, but praise God, you shall be like Him. In a moment, you're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Woo! I've come a long way, but I ain't there yet. But praise God, I'm going to be something one of these days. It's like old John Anderson's country song. He said, I'm just a lump of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday. Oh, one of these days, I'm going to be an accomplished son of Almighty God. And so when bad news comes, I can still praise God. Because I praise God on the foundation of His Scripture and His Psalms. Can you give God some praise in this house? Oh, I praise God for His love. When I study the Word of God, I praise God for His love. Nothing can separate me from His love. That makes me just have a spell. That makes me just want to shout. That makes me just run through a troop and leap over a wall. That makes me laugh in the face of the devil, because nothing can separate me from the love of God. Oh, I praise God on the basis of His Scriptures when I realize His patience. We cast away friends like they're just old socks. We don't give people much latitude at all. They fail us once and we are through with them forever. But how many times have I failed God, but He's never cast me away? He said the righteous man falls seven times. If the righteous is falling, what are the unrighteous doing? They just stay down. But we that are righteous fall seven times. But His patience says we will rise again. Oh, hallelujah. Not because I won the lottery, but because I praise God on the basis of His Scripture, because He's a loving God and He's a patient God. I thank God and I praise Him because of His salvation. When I was a long way off, when I was shut off from the kingdom of God, I didn't know which way to turn. I didn't know who to call. I didn't know what to do, but praise God, He left the 99. Do you know who those 99 were? They were the righteous. They were the successful. They were the overcomers. They were the cream of the crop, and I was the runt of the litter. But praise God, He left the 99 and came looking for the least. And guess what He found? He found me. Oh, hallelujah. I wasn't worthy to be saved, but He saved me anyway. I wasn't worth the time that He spent come looking and searching, but He found me. He searched for me when I didn't have enough sense to search for Him. Oh, when I think about salvation, when I think about all the Lord has done for me, when I think about the pit that He digged me from, when I think about the miry clay, I say, oh, praise God. I think I'll just praise God. Not because the turkey's in the oven. Not because the prison's under the tree. I'm going to praise God because He is the God of my salvation. Can somebody in this church tonight give God a real heartfelt praise and thanks? Let your gratitude explode in the name of Jesus. Woo! Anybody getting happy because you're saved? Is there anybody happy because the devil has no effect on you? Are you happy tonight because your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and it can't be erased? It can't be snuffed out. It can't be erased. It can't be eradicated. Your name is just there. He's the God of my salvation. Whew. Jesus said, don't rejoice. Because the demons are subject to you. But rejoice because your name is written down. Woo, my name is written down. My name is written down. Well, somebody slighted me. They're going to die anyway. What's it matter if they know you? But praise God, God knows me by name. He knows me by name. He has got tattooed in the palm of His hand my name. That little lost sheep that nobody else thought was significant. He wrote my name. Oh, I praise Him. I praise Him on the basis of the Scripture. What I've learned from the Bible. You know what I know about God is not hearsay. It's written down in the Bible. Praise God. And He loves me. And His salvation is forever and ever. Oh, thank God. When I think of His sovereignty, it makes me want to praise Him. When I read about His wisdom, it makes me want to praise Him. Oh, let me finalize on this point. When I talk about praising God on the basis of His Scripture, when I read in the Bible of His mercy, oh, it makes me want to shout a while. I don't know how Christians can be dead in church. Maybe they're not reading the same book I'm reading. But when I find out that His mercy endureth forever, oh, mercy, what a quality. It endures forever. The Bible said they walked through the wilderness and their shoes never wore out. Oh, that makes some of you women mad because you don't wear out your shoes. You just buy new ones because you like them. Never wore out. Let me tell you about if He can make shoes that won't wear out, He can make mercy that endureth forever. It doesn't matter how many times you've used it. Oh, how many times have you used God's mercy? What do you mean, His mercy? That means you didn't get what you deserved. It was mercy. It was mercy that came to you. And you said, wow, His mercy endureth forever. And then you read a little further and said, you know what? His mercy is fresh every morning. Oh, that's when you decided you was going to be a praiser. That's when you decided you wasn't going to be a cadaver in church. You wasn't going to be a dead rag hanging over the back of a pew, but you was going to be a lively stone. That's when you realized you was going to be a Hebrew woman. The Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, lively stones. There's just something about a praiser. You can't hold them down. You can't keep them back. You can't get them to sit down in the back of the bus. They're a praiser. They got to show forth the praise of God. And what makes you a real praiser is because you understand from the foundation of God's word who He is and what He thinks about you and the relationship. And you say, I'm sorry, I just can't quit. I just can't quit. I just can't quit. I just can't quit praising God. Woo! Hallelujah. Mercy when you didn't get what you deserved. God should have squashed you like a bug, and He promoted you like a king. What a God we serve. He's worthy of praise. Oh, but when you read about the grace of God, that even got better. That's when you got what you didn't deserve. Didn't do anything to do it, and all of a sudden you got a crown on your head. Praise God, you got a white robe draping your body. Praise God, you got a harp. You've got a promise. You've got a song. You've got angels that are your slaves. You've got a promise of a mansion in heaven. Praise God. You've got Jesus saying, come on, come on, come and go with me to my Father's house. And you say, but I don't deserve it. But then you read about God's grace and you said, wow, what a God we serve. I think I'll just praise the Lord while I have a chance. Did you get a new car? No, I'm not praising God for a new car. I'm praising God in His Psalms because I found out He's a God of grace. He gives me unmerited favor. He gives me gifts I don't deserve. He loadeth His benefits on me. I'm praising God because He's sovereign. I'm praising God for His love. I'm praising God for His mercy. I'm praising God for His grace. Oh, go ahead. Somebody ought to praise their way into a blessing. Oh, somebody didn't come tonight, but you did. And the turkey's going to be better for you than it is for them. Your Thanksgiving tomorrow is going to be better because of your tonight, praise God. You're laying a foundation for something good and big in your life. Hallelujah! Oh, I can't help myself. My cup overflows. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Woo! Glory to God. But you remember, He said, be not drunk with wine, or His excess. But He said, speaking to yourself in Psalms 1. Number 2, He said, not only that, He said, speaking to yourself in hymns. Now, how is that different than Psalms? Psalms is the Word of God. But hymns is the record of the church. No matter what you think about God's church, it's His wife. The Bible said God loves His church.
and say, I don't go to church. Well, friend, you got a real problem, because God is overwhelmingly, abundantly in love with his church. The church is not the Pope's idea. It's not the Southern Baptist Convention's invention. Oh, the church is God's invention. He called it his bride out of his side, the church of the living God. He said to Peter when he was an ignorant fisherman just trying to get a handle on God's purpose, he said, upon this rock, and that rock was the revelation that Jesus Christ is the omnipotent, omniscient God. He is the image of the invisible God. Upon this rock of this revelation who Christ is, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You've heard about the hypocrites and you've heard about those that have failed. But friend, I want to talk about those that love God with all of their life. And their church people, they love like David when somebody said, hey, it's church time. He was glad when they said unto us, let us go to the church. And so when the Apostle Paul said, begin to worship him, begin to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns, he was talking about a church that's come through the fire, that's come through the flood, and somehow, praise God, they've never lost their faith. We're something, folks. We come through a long line. My forefather was in a lion's den and never was nibbled on. My forefathers was in a fiery furnace and never had the smell of smoke on their clothes. But oh, praise God, they were out there in the Colosseums and being fed to the fire. Oh, and the lions were stalking them, but through all of that, they had a song. Through it all, I've never lost my praise. Through it all, I've never lost my song. Oh, praise God. Praise God in the hymns. Martin Luther would sing, oh, a mighty fortress is our God. He is bold. It is triumphant. It expresses great faith in God. But it is a great hymn. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank God for Hillsong. We thank God for every songwriter that lives today. But we cannot abandon the hymns of our faith, because those were written when they were under the threat of death and attack. But they still had a hymn and said, our God is God and he has seen it through us all. Edward Perronet would write, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Friend, that's a great old hymn. We need to begin to sing some hymns again in the church. You see, we are a product of either or. It doesn't have to be either or. You don't have to select like you're on some kind of a limited income in a Luby's cafeteria line. You just walk up there and tell the lady, I'll take a little bit of all of it. She said, you don't have a big enough tray. Bring some people out to carry my tray. Because when God's got something, I want part of it. And so the great songs that are being written today, we can sing and rejoice. But we need to remember there are some mighty hymns that we need to praise God with. John Wesley wrote, oh, for a thousand tongues. Wesley proclaims that with one tongue, it's simply not enough to express his praise and his adoration for God. I understand what Wesley was talking about, because I feel so inferior, so inadequate. Just one little tongue. Some of you are bilingual. Some of you are trilingual. I just got one language and I'm not very good with it. And just one tongue. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer, but it's not enough. Oh, for a thousand tongues, Wesley would write. And he said, I want to praise God a thousand different ways. Well, friends, sometimes we just can't do that. So we get to give the Lord a shout. And somebody that doesn't love the Lord like you do, say, why is he doing that? Because I just have one tongue. And I want to praise God with a hymn. But now it's failed me. And so he said, the writer said, Isaac Watts said, when I survey the wonders cross. Friend, it's a great hymn. We need to praise God, speak to ourselves in all of the things that the Bible talks about. talk to ourselves in the great hymns of the faith. How firm a foundation. We don't even know who wrote that great hymn, but what a great hymn it is. An Amazing Grace by John Newton. We know what happened to him. He was the epitome of racist. And praise God, one day when he was selling slaves, the Holy Ghost came on him. And thank God he wrote Amazing Grace. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. And God delivered him from racism. We look at America today with its racism. I'm going to tell you, if the Church of the Living God would become the praise fountain that it should be, from the White House to the schoolhouse to the state house, we could stamp out racism, where we realize that we are all of one people. We are all of one faith. But it's not going to come through legislation. It's going to come when the Church of the Living God rises up and begins to speak this as their self in the Psalms of the Scripture, praising God for who He is, praising God for what He has done in our church. And then number three, spiritual songs. What is that? That's thanksgiving based on your personal relationship. Friend, every one of you need to have spiritual songs. We sing a lot of spiritual songs in this church. They're based on what God has done for us personally. I remember so many of them that Becky and I used to use traveling this country as evangelists. Nobody can do me like Jesus. That's not a great hymn, but praise God, it's a great spiritual song. It tells you, I tried everything and everybody, but there ain't nobody like Jesus. Oh, ain't nobody like Jesus. Praise God. Just a little spiritual song. We need to keep singing those in church. We need to sing the Psalms, the hymns. We need to sing the spiritual songs. We need to look for ways to praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, don't quit searching for ways to praise God. The Bible said it'd give you a new song and do a new thing. There's some way that God ain't never been praised. And praise God, if you hit upon the new way to praise God, guess what's going to happen? Heaven's going to applaud you, and the windows of heaven are going to open up and pour you out a blessing you're not able to contain. Get thankful. Say, look what the Lord has done in my life. And there's no song, there's no hymn. I can't even find a scripture that explains the way I feel. And so Becky wrote that when she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you got a tumor. And she prayed and went back, and the doctor said, the tumor's gone. She's just going to write, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Oh, it's not just for a psalmist or a singer like Becky. Everybody in this building ought to have a spiritual song. God's done something for you He ain't never done for nobody else. He's been with you different than He's been with anybody else. You might not be called to stand on the platform and sing it, but praise God, it ought to be your spiritual song in the traffic, when you're driving your car, when you're at home. I just got a little spiritual song, and praise God, you need to sing a while and say, "Woo, my, what a voice I got. Let me sing it again. Oh, I wish I could record this. If this thing would get on the internet, I'd be famous." But the truth is, it don't matter whether it's heard on the internet or not. There is a God that hears your song, a God that sets high and looks low, a God whose hand is not short, a God that will war. Oh, He just says, praise me, praise me, praise me in the psalm, praise me in the hymn. But He said, I want you to write your own spiritual song. What's God done for you? You ought to have your own testimony. It should not be like anybody else. But you ought to have your own spiritual songs too. Just things that you sing that nobody else would understand. But when you sing it, devil say, I remember what he's that's the time he slapped the hell out of us. I remember that. Whoa, we were about to take him under, and he starts singing this little song, and all of hell run backwards. I remember that. And the angel said, I recognize that little spiritual song. When he began to sing that song, angels threw what they was doing in heaven down and gathered around them and began to flap their wings, and earth shook in his behalf. Just because he praised God with a spiritual song. I ask you tonight, how grateful are you? How thankful are you? Oh, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. Look what the Lord has done. So many places I could be if it wasn't for God. I could be in a crack house. I could be in a jail. I could be in a hospital. I'm 69. Do you know how many people 69 are eating jello tonight in a nursing home, and here I am acting a fool for Jesus and just feeling so good? Oh, I'm feeling so good. I hadn't felt this good since Sunday, praise God. There's just something about coming to God's house and getting with God's people and talking about Jesus. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, my cup runs over. My joy is unspeakable. For 1,000 tongues. I wished I could praise him like I feel. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God, and he's in this building right now. I just can't stop praising him. Remember that? And of course, I just can't stop praising him. It's just a little spiritual song. When Brandon was just a little guy, he sang a little spiritual song. He said, I wish the whole world would catch on fire, catch on fire, catch on fire. It was a spiritual song. But praise God, that was part of his making to make him the man of God he is today. Oh, remember, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Remember that chorus? Just a spiritual song. Ladies and gentlemen, every one of you need to become experts in praising God in the scripture, praising God in the hymns, and praising God with your own copyrighted self-designed spiritual song. Look what the Lord has done in my life. He's done more for me than anybody else. He's brought me farther than he has anybody else. I don't care what you think. I'm just going to have myself a praise spell. I'm going to have myself a praise fit. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. Look what the Lord has done. Stand on your feet. Lift your hands tonight and give God some praise in this house. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, don't turn to wine. Don't turn to the internet. Don't turn to illicit sex. He said, speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Why, Paul? Because God inhabits the praise of his people. Praise God. It don't matter if you ain't got a job if you've got a God. It don't matter if you don't have health if you've got a healer. It don't matter if you're broke if you've got a God that's wealthy. It don't matter if you don't have no friends, if you've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I just ask you tonight, are you thankful? On this Thanksgiving Eve, are you thankful? Do you get up every morning? Do you grumble? Do you complain? Or do you get up and say, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for what he's done. Thank God for who I am. Thank God for whose I am. Thank God for where I am. Thank God for my future. Thank God I'm not living in the past. Thank God he rescued me. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God the devil knows me and runs from me. He resists me. He flees from me. Praise God. Thank God the angels know me by name. Thank God they bandy my name about heaven. Praise God, because I'm a praiser in three dimensions. I praise him in the scripture. I praise him in the hymns. And I praise him with my own little divine and designed spiritual songs. And when I do, God comes in. The cancer recedes. The poverty leaves. The depression takes an exit. And praise God, all because I know how to praise God. I don't turn to the needle, I don't turn to the bottle, but I turn to Jesus. And when Jesus comes in, everything's going to be all right. Can you lift your hands and give God some praise in this building tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I just want to give voice to the feeling of this congregation. We're thankful, Lord. We're grateful, Lord. Lord, we're not grumblers and we're not complainers, but we are a people that have been called out, and we thank you, God, that you included us in the firm. Hallelujah. I'm a junior partner, and thank God that means I'm heir to everything God's got. Somebody in this building is one scriptural praise, one hymnal praise, one spiritual praise from the biggest breakthrough in their life. God would turn around.
All you need to do is lob one more spiritual hand grenade. It'll blow the devil right out of your life, praise God. And all of a sudden, what couldn't happen will happen. What probably wasn't going to manifest is suddenly there. Because when you praise God, it just opens up the vast resources of heaven. And the Bible said God will not withhold any good thing from you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. On this Thanksgiving, I want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough ways. My voice can't say it. It can't articulate it well enough. My tongue can't form the words. My hands do not have the ability to applaud long enough or loud enough. I don't have the rhythm to dance in concert with the angelic host. But I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, where I could have been had it not been for the Lord on my side. If you're in this building right now and you just need a breakthrough, if you're right up there nose to nose with the adversary and you say, I don't know. Oh, yes, you do know.